morning, everybody. Let me start first off by saying that your eyes are not deceiving you. You had a bit of a technical difficulty that started last week, and you know, it's good when you have partners and people that are willing to help you. Jimmy and I were in here on Friday trying to get it fixed. It's his fault. Isn't that what you have partners for? You blame it on them? No, seriously, we'll have it fixed by next week. It may be a little bit hard to see, so we apologize for that. One of the colors went out. But so that's number one. But number two, I want to just say again, happy Mother's Day. And, you know, it's interesting. I've said this probably, I don't know, 3-4 dozen times, but every time you get up here and you prepare to speak, one of the things I always pray about is I'll ask, God, give me something to be able to relate it to. We see where Jesus, he does parables in the Bible, and he tells stories to make it so that people could understand it. And it never fails. Every time I pray, God gives me an example. And this time he gave it to me just this morning, right? And it was interesting. I was having a conversation with my wife before we left, and this was not a part of the plan, even though it was Mother's Day. But it fits perfectly with what we're going to talk about today. Because as we've been talking about being in the presence of God, as we have been talking about understanding what that even means for us, sometimes understanding what that means can be difficult because, as we've, you know, heard the saying, nobody's perfect. We know this, we get this, we understand this, we can intellectually wrap our minds, you know, wrap our little brains around the idea that nobody's perfect, yet oftentimes before we come in the presence of God, before we approach God, before we even approach one another, we sometimes feel this burden of wanting to be perfect, wanting to feel like we've done everything right. And, you know, as my wife was sharing with me, she was just sharing some of her own just feelings and just feelings of feeling sometimes like she doesn't measure up. And I didn't respond because I wanted this to go out to her. I want this to go out to her as a mom, because a lot of moms have this pressure, feeling like they want to get everything right. And when something doesn't go right, they struggle. They struggle with feeling like I'm just not everything that I want to be. And in our walk with God, sometimes we can go through that. And so I want to look at a passage today that's going to be the theme, where we see this struggle being carried out. The title of the sermon today is With a Cherry on Top. Because sometimes we can go through this thing where we ask for something, especially moms. Like I'm a dad, but I see this with the kids a lot of times where, you know, they'll ask and they think, well, if I ask 100 times, maybe by the time I get to 100, that will break and mama will give me what I want, you know? And we can be that way even with God sometimes, where it's like, well, maybe if I ask this way, well, maybe if I give God a few days and I come back and I say, pretty please with the cherry on top, he might change his mind. And I want to look at this, like, because we've done this to God, right? Where we show up looking like this, you know, poor, pitiful, you know, sometimes we even fold our hands in prayer and we try to look really somber and, you know, really sincere. I thought about Lee when I did this one, right? You know, that's where they get the puppy dog out. Lee loves puppies, right? She has a whole computer screensaver full of puppies. But like, we do the puppy dog eyes thing. And like, this is an actual picture of my children. This is my daughter. You know, it's like, please, you know, like, maybe if I just do a dramatic yell, God will hear and change his mind. But just like a mother knows what's best, sometimes it doesn't matter how you ask, you're just not going to get your way. And it's not because they don't love you. It's not because mama doesn't care. It's because I know what's best. And God can be the same way with us. I want to look in 2 Corinthians chapter 12. We'll start in verse 6. It says, even if I should choose to boast, I would not be a fool because I would be speaking the truth. But I refrain so no one will think more of me than is warranted by what I do or say, or because of these surpassingly great revelations. Therefore, in order to keep me from becoming conceited, I was given a thorn in my flesh, a messenger of Satan to torment me. Three times I pleaded with the Lord to take it away from me, but he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, if I will boast, all the more gladly about weakness, so that Christ's power may rest on me. That is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weakness, in insults, in hardships, in persecutions and difficulties. For when I am weak, then I am strong. We see this just in these short few verses. We see something that we, at some point, can all relate to. When we want so badly to change something, you know, a lot of people have speculated, I wonder what it is that, you know, Paul was talking about here. What is that? I wonder, what is this thorn in his flesh? What is this thing? Maybe it was some sin that he just could not seem to completely rid his life of. Or maybe there was, and it's like, sometimes it's just a feeling of guilt. Knowing that you've done something wrong in the past, knowing that you've hurt somebody in the past, knowing that you failed in the past, and God has forgiven you, but you wish you could go back. You pray, God, take this. I'm sorry that I did this to my kids. I didn't know. I'm sorry that I did this. This is the pressure that so many mothers go through. You don't have to be a mother to go through this, though. We want, please take it away. Please take it away. Says he went back to him the third time and he said, my grace is sufficient. What exactly does that mean, that my grace is sufficient? See, it keeps us humble when we know that we failed, when we know that we don't have in our own strength, in our own might, in our own ability, we can't fix it. And yet, we understand that God still gives us grace. God still gives us the ability to come to him even though we're not perfect. God still looks at us and says, you're my son, you're my daughter, even though you failed. But that's such a hard thing, to have to face God knowing that you failed, knowing that there are ways in which you haven't measured up. And what's so important for us is to understand that in the presence of God, in order for us to really be able to appreciate that grace, we have to know that it's there. We have to rely on that. We have to see that what he says here, there's power in weakness. See, sometimes we don't want to show our vulnerabilities. We don't want to talk about our shortcomings and our failures because we think we have to, you know, show our best side. And God's like, no. Maybe there's somebody that you're going to impact and help and say, I'm using your weakness, I'm using your failures for my glory. Do we truly appreciate that? When God doesn't respond with the answer that we want, do we continue to say, pretty please, pretty please, pretty please, with a cherry on top? Are we able to see that through our failures, even through our shortcomings and our sin, that God is still going to be glorified? Do we appreciate grace in that way? Kind of like the grace of that phone ringing. I knew it was Miss Juanita. I wasn't going to say her name, but I just couldn't tell. It was just too irresistible, right? But you think about it. whenever we need grace, sometimes that's the hardest place to be in God's presence. Because we want to be strong and powerful and righteous, and we want to overcome. And God's saying, no, I'm not going to take that thing away from you. You think about it, when you're struggling in your illness, you got a disease. Maybe you're struggling with your weight. Maybe you're struggling with your vision. Maybe you're struggling in your finances. Maybe you're struggling in your marriage. Maybe you're struggling to be able to raise your children. Or maybe you're struggling at work. Whatever that struggle is, we want to take it away. This job is terrible. I want a new job. And God says no. I'm frustrated. I wish my spouse would just change. And God says no. Why? Because in this way, you'll be able to rely on me, not on yourself. You know, this is, we think about mothers and what mothers do and how they love us. And even in just when mothers tell us no, my mother, she's not here. She'll be back one of these days. But my mother was a professional teller of the word no. She specialized in no. And then after several no's, see, I didn't get to, like, you know, Paul talked about how he went back the third time. I didn't get to the third time. Because after the first time, it was, boy, don't ask me again. And then it was, say it one more time, and you'll be sorry. And so we never, you know, we learned, don't even go back to mom the third time. But we think about mothers, and sometimes that no is for our own protection. They're trying to guard us from something. They're trying to keep us from something. You know, sometimes we don't look at being in poverty or being sick or having to overcome a struggle in a relationship. We don't look at that as something that God is actually allowing for our own benefit. I think, and I've told this before, about how my father says, you know what, you're not going to that party. I don't care who is going to that party because I know what's going to go on at that party, and that's why I'm keeping you home. Sometimes we can resent it. We can be frustrated with God saying no or giving us the answer that we don't want, and we forget that it's for our own protection. Many of us, we have these great examples, and we adore our mothers because looking back, we know that it was for our protection, but do we see the same thing with God? You know, I've often used the example of, you know, when you get a shot, it hurts. You're thinking, Mama, why would you let me do this? Why would you let this doctor do this to me? It's painful. But it's for your long-term good, son. It's so that you can be immune to those smallpox and measles and rubella and all those different things. You know, my wife, she was very much this way. She literally had the shot scheduled down. The doctor said, well, it's not going to, no, we're going to do it this way. Because she was protecting her children. She was doing this for her benefit. God often doesn't give us the response we want because he knows he's protecting us. Let's continue reading in 2 Corinthians. We'll go back to chapter 1, starting in verse 3. It says, praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our troubles so that we can comfort those in trouble with the comfort we ourselves receive from God. For just as we share abundantly in the sufferings of Christ, so also our comfort abounds through Christ. If we are distressed, it is for your comfort and salvation. If we are comforted, it is for your comfort, which produces in you patient endurance of the same suffering we suffer. And our hope for you is firm. Because we know that just as you share in our suffering, so also you share in our comfort. We do not want you to be uninformed, brothers and sisters, about the trouble we are experiencing in the province of Asia. We were under great pressure, far beyond our ability to endure, so that we despaired of life itself. Indeed, we felt we had received the sentence of death. But this happened that we might not rely on ourselves, but on God, who raises the dead. He has delivered us from such a deadly peril, and he will deliver us again. On him we have set our hope that we will continue to deliver, that he will continue to deliver us as you help us by your prayers. Then many will give thanks on our behalf for the gracious favor granted us in answer to the prayers of many. We see here in this scripture, it's about reliance on him. So much of our motivation and reason for wanting to be perfect, for wanting certain things to be taken away, is because we understand things based on the world. And the world says, if you're flawless, if you're perfect, then you're useful. Then somebody can do something with you. Instead of seeing that when you rely on God, when you give it to him, when he is your source, then ultimately we don't have to be perfect. We don't have to be under that pressure, because it is only through Christ that we can be anything. God's desire for us does not change. It is not something that fluctuates from week to week when we're having a good week or a bad week. I've had a bad week. And God's desire for me has not changed. I'll have a good week. God's desire for me is not going to change. He wants me to rely on him. Not what I know, not my strength, not what I can do, not what I can show people, but what I can show people through him. He wants me to rely on him. He wants me to come in his presence. You know, my son, he does this thing with his homework, and then he'll come to me in the office. I'll be working or reading or doing something. Half the time is playing Candy Crush. But he comes in there, and he thinks I'm working, right? So he comes in, and he says, Daddy, I want, you know what? Never mind. I'll come back. No, son. Whatever I'm doing, I can continue it later. I want to help you. I want you to come to me. I want you to rely on me. And it's Mother's Day, so I may as well tell the truth. Sometimes that turns into, okay, boy, go ask your mother. Go ask your mother. She knows. She teaches all the time. But honestly, as parents, we want to help our children. We want to be there for them. God wants us to rely on him. He does not want us to feel like we're alone in this battle, in this struggle, that we're facing all these hardships. He says, no, you're facing these hardships, but I'm watching, and I'm there, and I'm going to protect you. Do we have that trust that says we're going to rely and give everything to him? This is an artist who, she does illustrations and paintings that project and show motherhood. Most of them are paintings that show mothers that are protecting, that are going through natural motherly things. And the reason why she started doing this, I would tell you her name, but I know it's Katie, but her last name starts with a B and it's really hard to pronounce. I don't want to butcher it. She might hear this one day. But she does these paintings and they show motherhood. And she started doing this because she wanted mothers to embrace those challenges that come with motherhood. Wanted them to see how important and vital it was. She wants people to understand how being a mother is so important, every aspect of it. Mothers, in the way that they take care of us, the way that they look after us. See, sometimes, if we're honest, and we're going to be honest here today, some of us haven't always had good mothers. Others of us haven't always been good mothers, and fathers the same. Friends, whatever it is. But that's where we go back to, my grace is sufficient. Because God allows us the opportunity to repair and fix. And even if we can't go back, and repair a damaged relationship or fix something, God can still work. God can still use us even in our imperfections. Romans chapter 8, verse 22 through 30, it says, we know that the whole creation has been groaning as in the pains of childbirth right up to the present time. Not only so, but we ourselves, who have the first fruits of the Spirit, groan inwardly as we wait eagerly for our adoption to sonship, the redemption of our bodies. For in this hope we were saved. But hope that is seen is not hope at all. Who hopes for what they already have? But if we hope for what we do not yet have, we wait for it patiently. In the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us through wordless groans. And he who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for God's people in accordance with the will of God. We see this pattern here. We see this theme here as we read through these scriptures, how there's an intercession there. That's what that grace is. I'm going to help you along because I know that you don't necessarily have what it takes. I know that you don't necessarily meet up. And that pressure that we feel to want to meet up to expectation, we want to measure up, God's saying, you don't need that pressure. I'm going to help. Continuing, it says, and we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. For those God foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brothers and sisters. And those he predestined, he also called. Those he called, he also justified. Those he justified, he also glorified. Our desire to do things according to his will, to live according to the way that he wants us to live in the image of his Son, will ultimately tell the truth about where our trust lies. Do we ultimately trust that conforming our lives and being more like Christ will help us? Do we honestly believe that? Or do we still resist and want to do things in our own power? Do we still want to have the right answers all the time? And when we don't have the answer, we feel somehow inadequate. We feel like we failed. Or do we trust that even in our failures, God's going to be glorified? God's will is going to be done. That we don't have to always be in our own strength and our own power, working, as they say, from our flesh, from our own being. Are we allowing the Spirit to intercede on our behalf? And are we trusting and walking in that truth? It's Mother's Day, and oftentimes we see little images like this, little pictures. My kids' hands aren't quite that small anymore where they would fit that way. But I have pictures like this where William is grabbing my finger because his hands were too small. Kendall would, there's a picture I have, I think I've showed it before, where Kendall was so little, I would just hold her up, just like this. She falls asleep in my bed all the time, and I hate picking her up now and dragging her in that room because she's heavy. But that's the thing, kids grow up, and kids move on. And we try to prepare our children. Mothers struggle and painstakingly go through the process of giving and trying to provide as much as they can, even though they know they're not perfect. And yet, what's so important about this is that often we forget that just like our own children, we are God's children. He doesn't want us to feel like we have to do it all by ourselves. You know, I'm encouraged to see, you know, Darlene put up a post. She's talking about how, oh my goodness, like, you know, one daughter's graduated and the other one's in college and about to graduate here soon. And I got one that's about to graduate high school. And here's the thing. she still wants her kids to come home. She still wants her kids to call her and talk to her, just like her mother's right down the road, and she wants her to call her and talk to her. We, no matter how spiritual we are, no matter how much we've grown, God still cares, and he wants to be there. He doesn't want us to rely only on ourselves. He's there to help us. He's there to guide us. Do we trust that and believe in that? We'll close here. Isaiah chapter 49, starting verse 14, says, but Zion said, the Lord has forsaken me. The Lord has forgotten me. Can a mother forget the baby at her breast and have no compassion on the child she has born? Though she may forget, I will not forget you. See, I have engraved you on the palms of my hands. Your walls are ever before me. Your children hasten back, and those who laid you waste depart from you. The reason why we come here, we come to church, we come to Bible study, we read, we pray, we take time to continue to learn and grow, is so that we can continue to seek God. Because one of the things that is inevitable as a father or a mother is that there's things that you didn't understand that your parents did. There's reasons why your parents said no that you don't understand until you have your own kids, or until you've been in that situation, until later on in life when you grow up and you're mature. And sometimes when you're young, you can be frustrated feeling like, but God, I ask you a bunch of times to do this for me, and you always said no. But we have to continue to seek him and seek the heart that he has, so that we can understand why it is that he said no, why it is that he turned us down, why it is he didn't give us the response that we wanted. We were in his presence, and sometimes we feel like, why am I here? Why am I putting all this time and energy to be in his presence, and you're not going to respond to me in a favorable way? That's why it's incumbent upon us to continue to seek understanding so that we can understand why it is. Because maybe later, we can better understand just how much God was intervening to protect us and show us love and support. We'll close with a few questions. Do I see how God can use my weaknesses for his glory, or do I seek only to project my strengths? What weaknesses do I boast? What is it that you're not good at? What is it that you can't seem to overcome? Because that can be very complicated when we look at Paul saying, I boast in my weaknesses. Why would someone boast about something that they're not good at? See, that doesn't make sense in the world's mind, but when you have the mind of Christ, suddenly you understand, because you show and you project that even when I do something great, I know it wasn't me. I know it's not because of my strength. I know it's not because of my power. I know it's not because of my skill and what I've learned. It is because God has been there working with me, showing me. He put me in this place. He gave me this very thing that I'm boasting in. So even in our strength, we're still weak. Do I trust God in all things, or do I take the wheel back and rely on myself when things aren't going according to my plans? Too often, we feel like, well, when things are great and we're getting everything, we're praying and God is, you know, showing us what we want to see, oh yeah, I'll gladly give it to you. But then when the toys stop coming, when the things that make us happy stop coming, then all of a sudden I doubt. Maybe he didn't hear me. Maybe he's not listening. Maybe he doesn't care as much as I thought he did. I love how Dennis shared with me a story years ago about how he said there was a period of time where he felt like he just wasn't sure that God was listening. And he goes out and he prays, and he said this wind just comes along. He said it felt like God was saying, no, 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 I'm still here. And what I love most about it is he said, and I really don't care if anybody thinks that that was just a coincidental wind or some storm pattern came through. I know that was God reminding me that he's still present. My kids do that all the time. They say, "Daddy, daddy, 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 daddy," and they just keep saying it. And sometimes I can't answer in that moment, but it doesn't mean that I'm not there. Do we have that level of trust in God? Do I honestly believe that God is working for my good? And this is very important. When there is pain, hurt, or struggle, do I draw closer to him or push further away? When it's painful, when it hurts, sometimes it's hard to reconcile when you're going through something tough. Why would God even allow it? And yet we give our children shots. My daughter, her birthday was last week. She got this bike. And I literally told my wife, I said, here's the thing. Just get the Band-Aids ready. She's going to fall. She's going to skin her knee. She's going to bruise her leg. I know it's coming, but it's okay. Sometimes we have to ask ourselves when we're going through those challenges, do I trust God enough to say that even though this is painful and even though it hurts, even though I was wrong, I know it's okay. I know it's okay because God is still present and he's watching and he knows that these things are going to happen. And finally, what more does God have to do in my life to earn my trust? Does he need to give me more positive things, or do I trust that his way is best? See, sometimes we go through this thing where we want God to keep proving himself by giving us positive stuff. So when something bad happens, we lose a loved one, we go through pain, we have to go through chemo, we have to struggle in our finances, we struggle in our marriage, we go through a painful separation, something that hurts very deeply. It's almost like we hold God hostage. Like, God, now you got to give me something to prove to me that you're still there. Instead of understanding that, you know what? No, my grace is sufficient. My love for you and my forgiveness, my willingness to be merciful towards you is sufficient. Is it sufficient for us? Do we still trust? Do we still come home when it's time for dinner, even when it's hard, because we're going through something? Do you have a relationship with God that you trust and know who he is? You know his ways. You understand how it is that he works. If you don't leave here uncertain. Don't walk out of these doors, whichever door you choose. Don't leave here uncertain. Don't leave here feeling like, I don't understand, I don't know this God, and I just feel like I'm under this pressure. I ask you to come forward in a few minutes when we sing our song of invitation so that we as a church, as your brothers and sisters, so that we can help you, so that we can better show, so that you can understand how God's grace is all that you need. Are you in a place where maybe you have been pushing God away? Maybe you're going through a tough time or a rough patch. Maybe it's even been years. And you just don't feel like I can be in God's presence because I haven't been living up to the expectations. We want to help you as well. We ask that you come forward, that you seek the prayers of the church, that you get whatever help you can. We want to intervene and help as your brothers and sisters, but what's so important is that we understand that God doesn't judge us the way that the world does or even the way that we do one another. He doesn't expect you to be perfect. His expectation is that you rely on him in everything, that you trust him and give your entire life to him. If you haven't given your life to him, if you need help in giving your life to him, if you need to understand better what that even means, we ask that you come forward as we stand and sing our song.